A message titled this morning, God's Bountiful Riches. We've been doing a series on our amazing God and our God's amazing God. Amen? What a wonderful God we serve. I think it's part of the lyrics in a song. What a wonderful God we serve. Our key verse is verse 9 as we kind of close out this year, and we look forward to the year 2021 coming up here. And so, but when we read verse 9, I think most of us will mention verse 9. We've memorized verse 9, but we don't follow through with verse 10, which is so very important. Because I'll be honest with you, let's read verse 9. I'll make a comment here in a minute. It says, "But as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." We go on our merry way. We just, we're on our way down the road there. And then we go through our entire lives. We go through the entire year. Okay, we're saying, okay. So my Christian life is a real mystery. That God has things that he's got out there, things that I don't know where they are. I don't know how to find them. I don't know where to go to get them, whatever it is here. But verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." So we don't have to go around guessing. Amen. It's all right there before our faith. So as one reads this chapter, we are reminded of a time in our past when the bounties of God's riches were well beyond our grasp. There was a time in our lives that we didn't give it a thought. We just figured, hey, you just go to church, you open your hymn book, you sing a few songs, the preacher yells at you for a few minutes, and you drop a few bucks in your offering plate, and off you go. You're on your way home. But we didn't really grasp, and I'll be honest with you, I believe there's a lot of Christians today who are professing to be saved, who still don't have a grasp on the bountiful riches of God. The idea for most of them is, I'm saved now, and I'm glad I've got my salvation, I'm on my way to heaven, and that's as far as their bounties thoughts go. So, but it still remains this way, I believe, for all such who refuse to come to a saving knowledge in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, we see there, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So, listen, if the average typical Christian is having a difficult time coming to grips with the bountiful riches that we have in God, imagine how far off the base the world is. They have no clue. To them, you and I are just weaklings, that we need a religious crutch to get ourselves through from day to day to day to day. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I got a crutch like that. Amen. There's a lot of things the world's trying to lean on, but they can't lean on it. They're trying to lean on alcohol and drugs and you name it. They're trying to get through the day by whatever it means they can. It's always back there again, the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. But for you and I, we have it in the Lord. So, as well as does the Apostle Paul state their typical attitudes toward those things that are unique to God. But however, for the redeemed of the Lord, there is no excuse, as verses 15 and 16 so state. If we look just toward the end of that chapter, is it, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So there's no excuse in a believer's life to not know what bountiful riches are available to you and I as the children of the Lord. Or even how to exercise or to tap into those bountiful riches this morning. Twice the word "judge" is used in verse 15. It is used, and it is important to know their definition, although both of them are the same Greek word, anakrino, and it also appears several times in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when we take communion service, that we are to judge, or we are to exercise discernment and examine our lives, as the word anakrino would have us to believe, have us to know and understand. But they're both the same word, and both have the idea of to examine. It is to investigate in a forensic sense. Now, listen, if you don't pick up the Bible, you're a slacker. Picking up and reading it is so important. If you are to investigate what's available to us in the life of a believer, then you need to do so in a forensic sense. You're looking for the direction, you're looking for the input that God makes available to us and to help us understand how to use those bountiful riches that God's made available to us. But you know, that takes time, doesn't it? And so it means to examine, to investigate in a forensic sense. In the first use, it is in the personal tense. But it's in the active voice. So God expects us to do something like this. He expects us to take the Bible. He expects us to pick it up. He expects us to read it. He expects it. Listen, you know what? God didn't mean for you to come to church and sit there and listen to the preacher and not crack your Bible, to open your Bible and actually see if what he says is true or not.
Right.
You know, it's amazing how many people will sit there. They're basically lazy believers, and they're going to assume that because a man stands in the pulpit, he's telling you the truth, and that may not even be close to reality. And so if you're not in the Word of God, how are you going to know if what the preacher's preaching is true or not? You're going to have to accept it on face value. There's a lot of people who have gone to a crisis eternity and who are headed to a crisis eternity because they took the preacher at his word without checking out to see if it's true with the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God is the absolute and final authority in all of our lives. Amen. The preacher isn't, and the church isn't the final authority, but the Word of God is. So it, you know that it's in the present tense, it's in the active voice, so you are too right now today as you're dealing with life. The issues that we go through on a daily basis, on a day-to-day basis there, our responsibility is to get in. Listen, are you having a difficult time today? Or did you have a difficult time yesterday? Maybe it was last week you were having a very difficult time. Did you get in the Word of God to examine, okay, how do I need to handle this? What is it God wants me to take away from it? That's the idea of examining in a forensic sense that what did I do, what did I say, or did I do nothing? You know, isn't that what Job did? Job spent his time, he was looking for an answer to why all of a sudden he lost all of his children, he lost all of his wealth, and now he's under attack in a physical sense. Really, the book of Job is forensic. Now, he got a little bit askew there for a little bit, to be sure, but we need to be that engaged into our Christian life, in our walk with the Lord. So the challenge is to take the events of our life, according to verse 15, things, where it says things, desiring to know how God is in those events, what spiritual principles need application to those particular circumstances, and how we can grow spiritually in them. So we should come out of every set of circumstances with a new wonder, a new amazement of God, and a wonderful and deeper, greater appreciation of the Word of God. Amen. Those things aren't meant there for you to have a pity party and sit there and say, poor me, and oh, woe is me, and one thing or another. But the second use of the word, and we're still only in the introduction, so I'm not sure how far we're going to get today. But the second use of the word is in the present tense, but it's in the passive voice. And the idea here is that no person unsaved can know or understand the ways of God in the redeemed of the Lord. That's why it is no unsaved person ever has a right to judge a Christian. Now, I'm not saying Christians have a right to judge the unsaved necessarily. That's in the hands of the Lord. But, you know, we come under a lot of criticism, maybe even from unsaved family members, or maybe from backslidden family members. Then we'll come under some criticism about that. Listen, well, don't worry about what they've got to say, because they have no spiritual footing on whatsoever to be able to judge your spirituality. Just make sure that your spirituality is what it ought to be. Amen? So the idea is that they cannot understand the ways of God because he tells us that right there again in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Lord, for they are what? Spiritually discerned. So quickly notice Paul's entrance into this next chapter when he says, when I say that so many professing Christians are ignorant to the riches that the redeemed have available to them, and they have very little knowledge about God because they refuse to study his word. So he starts off with chapter 3. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. You think these people had any idea about the bountiful riches that were available to them in God? Absolutely not. They were cruising. They were just kind of coasting along without paying any attention. They wanted someone else to do the digging for them. They wanted someone else to teach them rather than have to dig it out for themselves. But he says in verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet what? Carnal. For whereas there is among you envy. Now, what's that mean? It says, for you're yet carnal. You're trying to discern the spiritual truths and the depths and the breadth of God's bountiful riches just as a common unsaved person would. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit of God who wants to lead you in certain directions. You're trying to figure this out on your own. You're using human knowledge, you're using human wisdom, and you're not tapping into the spiritual wisdom that has been given to us. But he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions and so on, as he goes down through there. So, John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus commands us, really. I won't say the word commands. He commands us to do this. And he says, search the scriptures. What do I want to search the scriptures for? And the average person said, I don't know. Well, you search the scriptures. You're looking for truth. You're looking for direction. You're looking for any bit of information you can about how God works with us and how we're to work with God and how God works in the world and all these things. But search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So by searching the scriptures, you're going to learn everything you're going to need to know about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? You will learn everything you need to know. But you're not going to be very smart about it when it comes right down to it if you're not in the Word of God. You know, you say, well, preacher, it seems like you always preach about coming back to the Lord. Well, that's where it all begins. That's the foundation. Amen? For this, there is no excuse, seeing that we have all the necessary information, 1 Corinthians 2:9. Notice especially, as I said there, verse 10. And so it's not like God has just kind of thrown us out there at you and said, you know what, go try to figure this out for yourself. He says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Amen. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yet the deep things of God. So you want to know the deeper things of God? You're going to have to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. Because that's His ministry. Not only is it to convict and to convince the world of sin, His ministry is what? To teach and to guide us and lead us into all truth. As well as to magnify the person of Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit is not going to magnify Himself. Anybody and anything that would elevate the Holy Spirit of God above the person of Jesus Christ is inerrant doctrine. It's that simple. His ministry, and He states it ever so clearly in the Gospel of John, that even Jesus, when He told His disciples, said that when He comes, He will testify of Me. And that's what His ministry is. So, quickly, three thoughts, maybe not three thoughts, but we'll get through some of them here. On God's bountiful riches. Father, guide and direct that we pray now this morning as we look to this message. Speak to our hearts today. Lord, we have a living, vibrant word that speaks to our hearts. If we will take the time to not just simply read it, but to meditate and to study on it. Lord, it's amazing how quickly we can come up with changes that need to take place in our lives to shape and to mold us. So, Lord, it's a matter of being conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, today. And so, Father, we thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us to lead us and to guide us not only into all truth, but to lift up and to magnify the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, guide and direct whether it's to salvation or to rededication. Lord, we pray now these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first one, being prepared. That's the first thing we want to look at, is being prepared to the redeemed of the Lord. We should understand that being prepared means, first of all, that salvation must take place. Amen. If it's the Holy Spirit's going to guide us and lead us into all truth, you've got to be saved. Oh, what do I have to be saved for? Because that's when you get the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. He takes up a residence. He dwells within us. And if He's going to guide us and direct us and convince us and lead us in all truth, if He's going to use us to magnify the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, guess what? You got to be saved. Okay, let's not make it more difficult than it has to be. So salvation must take first place, as the Holy Spirit presence is an absolute necessity. And the only way that we can know them is to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the only way you can know. There's no other means. Which can only take place when we surrender to the gospel's message concerning what Christ has done for us via the cross of Calvary. So once saved, immediately we are indwelt by the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And we are ready to begin the process. We do understand that that is the beginning of a process. We have all the information we need available to us through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God, and the whole Word of God will never contradict the Holy Spirit either. Amen? So the idea is that we are now ready to begin the process of learning and understanding what God has in store to bestow on you and me. You know, many of us are living like spiritual paupers. Really, you think about it, we're living like spiritual. We're mumbling, we're grumbling from one set of circumstances to another. Boy, if the sun doesn't shine, we're all bent out of shape. When the sun shines too bright, someone else is all bent out of shape here. When the snow comes, everybody cries. I don't. I love the snow. And I love the spring and I love the fall. And I wish we could just kind of bypass all that and get through summer. We all have our grievances, I guess. But here's the truth of the matter is... God has many things He wants to bestow on us. Things that would help us to deal with life's issues. Things that would get us through our circumstances. Things that we run into on a day-to-day basis that sometimes we just want to go back home, crawl into bed and go to sleep and hope this day goes away. So prior to our salvation, we were blind. We were deaf in our hearts. That is our thought life. were completely incapable of knowing the riches of his wisdom, the limitlessness of his wisdom, let alone fathom the depth and the breadth of his love. We were not capable of that. And so is that's why Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, said, as newborn babes. Listen, you got there's some things you got to learn. And you know what? As a child of God, you never cease to learn. Amen. The more time you spend in the Word of God, you realize how much more there is to learn. Amen. And so, the idea is that the same is true of the redeemed who refuse to spend quality and quantity time in the Word of God. We'd rather have a commentary and let somebody else do it for us. Now, it's good to check on a commentary to make sure that you may be on the right track for the most part. But the truth of the matter, if the commentary is out of sorts with the Word of God, then just throw it in the trash. It's not any good. So the idea is that we need to spend quality time, and we need to spend quantity time in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to teach us and to lead us, as we said earlier, into the knowledge of those things that God the Father has prepared for us in this life and on into eternity. So this, we talk about abundant life. We're not talking about on the other side of the rapture. We're not talking about when we finally get to heaven. God wants us to have an abundant life here and right now. Now, that means being able to deal with whatever crisis come into our lives or whatever mountain peak experiences have here. We handle that in the way that a child of God would handle that. We have at our beck and call the resources of God to deal with those things. But if you don't know where to go and where to look, that's why it's important to be in the Word. So among these bountiful riches is the knowledge and the wisdom to know how to deal with life circumstances. And I tell you, it's terrible to realize that there are many Christians who say that they've been saved for 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years, and in the midst of their circumstances, they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle them. Well, if you've been saved for any length of time, my dear friends, you should know at least something. You may have to get some additional counsel. That's wonderful. But the idea is there, how to prepare to respond in a God-honoring, and that's what's so important about in a God. Now, when we murmur, we complain, we grumble, and we weep, and we bawl like we're the only ones in this world who's ever gone through these things here along the way, then guess what? That's not God-honoring, is it? And suffering in silence isn't necessarily God-honoring either. But the idea is saying, God, I don't know why I'm in the midst of these circumstances here, but Lord, I want to be able to use this for your honor and your glory. You guide me and you direct me. You guide and direct my thoughts. You guide and direct what I'm going to say. And so that the things that you say, so that you're not... Listen, when you and I, as a child of God, when we murmur and we complain, we're getting down on God, aren't we? You think about that. We're murmuring against God, thinking that somehow we don't deserve this. We shouldn't be in this position. But listen, I'm telling you, God has put you in a position there because he wants you to be able to honor him and to glorify him. And if you honor and glorify him as you go through these circumstances, you know what? When you come out the other side, God will honor and glorify you. That's the way God works. So, look at this. So it's a God-honoring fashion that will bring peace to our souls and comfort and even joy. You know, don't you feel good when you know what you've done, what God wanted you to do? Amen. I hope you do. I mean, what's the point if you don't? But if you've done what God wants you to have done and the way that God wanted it done, you should have a great sense of peace and joy within your heart. But when you're murmuring and you're complaining and you're griping and you're grumbling about all the things that you're dealing with in life here, how does that honor God and how do you find peace in the midst of that? So while the unsaved and the carnal Christian, that is the worldly Christian, if you will, are struggling to understand, to those who are prepared, we have this promise of God in verse 10, chapter 2. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, he used the word hath revealed. So it's here in this book, everything that we need to know about life, everyday spiritual life, how to use the Word of God, how to apply his Word, how to apply his promises, how to claim his promises, and how to benefit from God's blessings, to know what is right and what is wrong, and on we could go. But when you go through, it's amazing how many people will say, you know what, I'm having a bad day. I'm not going to touch my Bible today. That's like I got a toothache, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Well, why wouldn't you? I mean, I don't like to be miserable. I am, though, sometimes. Ask my wife, she'll tell you I get miserable. But, you know, the point is simply this, God has given to us a means by which we can handle life circumstances in a way that not only honors him, but it brings a joy and a peace. See, what we're going through then, we're doing nothing. We don't open our Bibles, we don't pray, we don't seek counsel. We're just sitting there being grumpy and frumpy and miserable beside ourselves. And you know what? Nothing changes. Nothing happens. We just remain that way. So we have to understand that this book, this Bible, is God's gift to you and I so that we can know all that he wants us to know, and it will equip us for the best of times, and it's going to prepare us for the worst of times. 2020 may have seemed like the worst of times. Thank God you're saved. When the rapture occurs, you're not going to be here, because the worst of times is really yet to come. Amen. And since God knows the future of every life, as the Lord's people, this book is as relevant to you and I today as it was when God spoke to Abraham over thousands of years ago. And it will be so all into eternity. That's what we're talking about. Not only from the point in time that you got saved, it's going to be that way all the way into eternity. So are you prepared to face tomorrow? Are you prepared to face 2021? Well, God wants us to be. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't want to be. They're just going to kind of take each day as it comes. So, very quickly here. Bestowed riches. Stop for a moment and think of the riches upon which we have been bestowed. Just being born in America. If you're born in New England, that's a positive. Just kidding. I don't know if anybody from the South is listening. I'll take it back. But anyway, think of all these riches. So God's grace, the first thing is that God's grace has been bestowed on us. That means unmerited favor. The riches of his grace. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll see a couple of them. Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2. And again, these are things that we'll come upon, the Holy Spirit can lead us to. But in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says there, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the what? Riches of his grace. His grace is limitless. It's enough to save every soul from Adam until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and even during the tribulation some would get saved. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. And he says over here, he says, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, that's an important phrase right there, but we'll come back to that in a moment. So we deserve not one of these. We do not deserve God's grace. It's unmerited. Yet His grace is unlimited. Folks, why do you want to live as a spiritual pauper when God's grace is just fathomless? The depth, the breadth, all of it is right there. So much to draw from, so much to learn, so much to apply to our lives. So, number two would be God's love to us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is no greater expression of God's love as we read in the Gospel of the first epistle of John chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, God's Son pleased the Father, and all that we have is because of Jesus Christ. Your salvation is because of Jesus Christ. God's grace is because of Jesus Christ. So we do not deserve an ounce of God's love. Yet as a redeemed, his love is limitless. It is eternal. And thirdly, we have God's gift of life in John chapter 10 and verse 10. The last part of that says, I am come, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God doesn't want us to live as spiritual paupers in this world. Now, that doesn't mean that God's not going to put us through some trials and tribulations if he sees there's a need for that in our hearts and our lives. And it doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen to good people. It doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen to godly people. They will happen. But we can have an abundant life in whatever sphere God has called us to be. So the phrase that they might have is in the present tense. It's in the active voice, but it's in a subjunctive mood. Now, what does it mean when something's in the subjunctive mood? It means it's in the realm of possibility. It's in the realm of potential. So you, in other words, basically God says, the ball's in your court. You're the one who's going to have to make a decision whether you're going to be a happy camper or you're going to be a miserable camper. Yeah, but it rains every time I go camping. Well, you know what? Take a raincoat with you. Amen. And listen, we've gone camping over Bristol, Maine, where I grew up as a what do you call them, a toddler and so on over there. And we took our kids over there to go camping there. There were sometimes it rained. And they couldn't go in the lake, and they couldn't play out on the beach or whatever else there. So we found things. We're going to town. We're going to town and go shopping or take the kids to do something along that nature there. But you know what? Rather than sit there being miserable about it, you know what, Lord? I need some ideas. You know, it's amazing how God can come through. So he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So the idea is that abundant or exceeding superior life is always a very real possibility and a potential in a believer's life. Now, not when we receive our immortal and our incorruptible bodies, but right now. So we don't have to wait till that future event. I know it's kind of like Martha and... What's his sister's name? Mary. And Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. So she was looking at the fact that if Christ had just kind of jumped on his little bus there real quick and gotten over there, the thing would have been okay. But he had a reason, he had a purpose for that. And so we don't have to wait until all of a sudden we hear the trumpet and the voice shouting, come on up. And when the child of God is raptured out of this lifetime here, we can have abundant life now. Amen. Goodness gracious, why in the world are we living such miserable, pathetic lives in the midst of this? We should be the most joyful people that anybody has ever met. Amen? Amen? So that means no more waking up in the morning as a grouch. No more excuses at all. I'm a grouch until I have my first cup of coffee. Listen, be a grouch until you get in the Bible. And if the Bible doesn't change, your coffee's not going to help you. Amen? But I'll tell you what, this book will do more for you than a coffee will. Amen? So, in the midst of it all, God wants us to have abundant life. He doesn't want us to be miserable. He wants us to have a peace that passes understanding, regardless of the circumstances of life. It's about a life being lived according to God's plans and God's purposes. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Do you believe that God has a purpose for your life? Then do what God wants you to do. Yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Follow the Scriptures. And you'll be following God's plan. You'll be following God's purpose. And even in the worst of circumstances, you're going to find that life is still all about the Lord. Not about what's going on around us. But between us and the Lord, it's that relationship. So the idea is it's finding fulfillment in living for the Lord our God. And rather than self. Or rather than, it's about being selfless as the Lord himself was selfless. Allowing the Holy Spirit of God to conform us to Christ without our being indifferent and rebellious. How many of you would really want the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God? Now, I don't think I'd want to be in. I don't want to live in me, if I could help it. But the truth of the matter is, think of what he has to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And those who call themselves the child of God. Would you really want his tiring, ceaseless ministry of trying to conform the rebellion? Hey, if you've ever tried to raise a rebellious, what's the other one I'm looking for? What's the other one? The will. The strong will child. There we go. Have you ever tried to raise one of those? You might have an idea what the Holy Spirit has to deal with. Amen. Think about that for a moment. So, allowing the Holy Spirit of God to conform us to Christ is a life that we're preparing for eternity. God's confidences is another one there. Think for a moment of how God is God, how great is God's confidences. He entrusted with you and I the gospel, a life-saving message that can change a sinner to a saint. A message that can change the direction of a sinner to heaven bound, from hell bound to heaven bound. He's entrusted that to us. That's why he told us to go out into all the world. So think for a moment how great is God's confidence in his faithful to entreat with us the gospel, to entrust us with the knowledge of his bountiful riches. In John chapter 15 and verse 15, he says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. You trust friends with a lot of things, don't you? You think back in your teenage years, you always had your best friend, and you told your best friend everything, but your best friend also had another best friend, and they told everything. That's how things get going around. But we have a better best friend in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Man, he just let it all out there. God's power is another one here, one of his riches there. And these are all the basic things here, and so many things beyond that. Ephesians 1, verses 17 through 19, as we get ready to close here in just a minute. Okay. Well, let the turkeys burn, I guess. I don't know. Ooh, let me get back to where I was going here. Ephesians chapter 1. Looking at verse 17. It said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. See, he wants to give it to you. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Notice how personal these verses are. We can do so very much more in our lives and with our lives because of how God shares his power with you and I. He never expected us to do in the flesh what can only be done in the spirit. So be it in wisdom or in knowledge and in the things that we face in life, unlimited power, how lavish God has been. And in comparison, how selfish we in turn have often been in resisting the Holy Spirit and a failure to search the scriptures as the Lord would have us to do. 2021 can be different, amen? If we will determine and desire to fully yield and surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just go through a basis for this bestowment. In a word, Jesus Christ. We don't deserve any of it. You're not all that great. I'm not all that great. But the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is very great. Amen. Amen. God didn't look down at me and say, oh, I'm going to do this for him because he's such a nice guy. He has done what he has done for us because of Jesus Christ. His love for the Son has made manifest and present to us his bountiful riches. It is unmerited, be it God's grace, God's love, God's gift of abundant life, his confidences and his power. It's all because of Jesus Christ. The purpose of what we have dealt with today is that we, the redeemed of the Lord, is that we would abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The practical effect of this and so much more as we surrender daily more and more is that our souls should cause us to joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To draw out of us all that is written in us in true worship. And a deeper fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the reason for the search. That's the reason behind the desire to search the scriptures. It is so that we can better be prepared and know how to glorify our Heavenly Father. The wisest decision any of us can make today is to get busy. Learn the things the Holy Spirit has for us. And he wants to share with us. And I'll guarantee you, if you do, you'll never ever be sorry. You're not going to stand before the Lord and say, man, I wasted all my lifetime down there trying to search the scriptures. You'll never do that. I'll guarantee you, if you don't, you will. Lord, I'm so sorry for having wasted my life. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that I disappointed you in wasting my life. But those who will search the scriptures, I mean, those are the ones who are going to know how to please God. They will please God. And they'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So, here it may not seem a big deal. I think that's how some Christians look at it. It's no big deal. But when we stand before him, I'll tell you right now, it will be a big deal. Amen. We're either going to be glad that we did what we were supposed to do, or we're going to be grievous because of what we did not do. So now is the day to choose, so choose wisely. Make the decision before 2021 gets underway. Say, I'm going to hit the road running. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together and we pray that you'll guide and direct in the invitation time. Lord, what a challenge that rests before us. Well, we've just come through a miserable 2020. Lord, to be sequestered and to be quarantined and, Lord, not to do the things that we oftentimes love to do and to fellowship in the way that we love to fellowship, Lord, it's been a difficult year. But, Lord, those who are coming out of 2020 and going into 2021 are those who spent more time with the Lord than they have at any other time in their lives. Lord, if this year didn't do anything else, it gave us ample time to do exactly what we've been commanded to do, and that is to search the Scriptures. It's there. And so, Lord, we should be far more prepared for what 2021 holds. And, Lord, only you know. But, Lord, if we understand and know the presence of the Holy Spirit, he's going to guide us every step of the way. And we're so thankful for that this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And even for our home viewers this morning, it may be that there is one listening in today that does not know Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. This would be a great day to end this year by coming to a saving faith in the person of Jesus Christ. I can't even begin to impress upon you the things that God has in store for those who love him and those who will walk with him. But you'll never know it until after you get saved, until you get into scriptures. It's your choice. For those of us who are saved this morning, the riches that are in Christ Jesus. Are you going to go into 2021 a pauper, a spiritual pauper, ignorant of God's purposes and God's plans in your life? God has some great things in store for you young people. God has great things in store for you moms and dads and for your families. But you just can't walk an indifferent life and expect God to do great things. The more fully you are yielded and the more fully you are surrendered, the greater things God can do. And the Holy Spirit can share with you. Lord, guide and direct in the remainder of this invitation time. We're going to turn to hymn number 142. Stephen Common. Diane, if she's over the piano already.